Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO and co-founder of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we are your friendly people dashboard company, helping you get rid of all those painful, messy, time-consuming HR reporting spreadsheets. We know you do this every week, every month, or every quarter. You go to all your different HR systems, you pull messy spreadsheets from all those different systems, you try to pull it together. It's time-consuming. It's not what you wanted it to be. And most of the time, it's not what you want to present to your executive team. Well, no longer do you have to do that because you can easily use Employee Cycle to connect to all your different HR systems, HRIS, ATS, Engagement Performance, Glassdoor, to be able to bring all that data into one place so you can view, share, track, and analyze all your data in one place. But that's enough about us because today we have an awesome guest and a pretty cool topic, I might add, that I think a lot of you will resonate with. So please help me welcome Jason Olson, Senior HR Leader at MedStreaming. And today we're going to discuss how to help managers succeed doing remote work. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Jason! Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, good. Thank you. So, Jason, let's kick this off the best way we know how, which is learning. How did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
So I kind of had a little bit of a different track. Well, I think it's different. I'm sure there's probably a lot of people out there similar. I originally started way back when I graduated from college with, in sales, territory account management. And then I kind of had this trajectory where I went from that to more customer account management and then into project management. And I got my MBA and then I came out and I did process consulting, specifically around operations. And then from there, I moved into actually directing operations, which included oversight of HR for a company. And then from there to where I'm at today, I went a little more focused into HR leadership versus just broad operations. So it's been kind of like a bit of an arc there for me, going through different roles throughout business, but it's been good. It's been a fun journey, and I think it, given my education, my background, experiences, giving me a holistic view of how companies function, how they operate, and how I can best consult and manage and support the leaders throughout the organization.
Thanks for that background. Really appreciate it. So today our topic is how to help managers succeed doing remote work. Before we go into helping managers succeed and thrive and be their best during remote work, let's quickly talk about what are some of the things that you and your colleagues in your HR and people team are doing to help managers in, let's just call it, normal time or pre-COVID time. And then we can talk about how that actually shifted to now helping these managers maybe deal with some of the things they were dealing with before, but then also in remote work. So talking about the difference between the two would be really interesting.
Sure. Yeah, it's, you know, pre-COVID, you know, the world we kind of lived in was really focused around the mentality of, you know, we need to have our staff in office where we can see them doing their work, you know, and much of interactions occurred, you know, through that face-to-face proximity. And, you know, and to be fair, it is a bit easier to engage with people when you're walking past them and, you know, you're nearby, you can walk over and talk to them directly, you know. And so I think sometimes that tends to get folks a little bit complacent just because they don't feel they have to be as intentional about engaging with staff just because, well, they're there. So if I need to engage, I can't, you know. And so, you know, and as we all know, we're all super busy, and it's really easy when we're not intentional about how we go about doing these things to just get caught up in busyness and just assume, well, you know, they're there. So if we really need to talk, we can talk, you know. So pre-COVID, a lot of it was trying to work with them to understand that, you know, yes, it's good to be able to just have those casual encounters and conversations, and those there's definitely value in that. But then also we need to try and focus on how we can be intentional about our interactions. And so we drove a lot of that through our performance management process. So of course, we are a little bit in the traditional sense that we still do the annual performance review process, but we also tried to emphasize, okay, this is great. This is like a annual touch point. But then what are we doing throughout the rest of the year to continue to engage with our staff and really pushing one-on-one meetings, not just about what tasks have you been doing or need work, help with, but really around how are you doing in your career and where are you going? So that was kind of that formal structure pre-COVID. So post-COVID, it obviously there's been a shift there in that, you know, we're no longer physically in proximity to one another, right? We're all separated. We're all in our houses working remotely. And what this has done is it's taken away that previous ability to just casually walk over to somebody and be near, but, you know, and engage in the employee break room or whatever. So all of a sudden this just kind of assumption that they operate under is no longer there, right? So now you have to be intentional about engaging with your staff or else it's not going to happen, right? There's just no casual encounters now, right? So that's kind of shifted to working with the managers to understand, okay, are you really now specifically setting up those regular touch points, those regular meetings to really check in with your staff and see how they're doing, right? Not, once again, not just on the task piece of it, right? Because it's so easy for those meetings to become, okay, what have you been working on? What do you need help with? And what are the deadlines? Like, that's good. That's important in terms of our daily work, but that's not the full spectrum of engagement. So engagement as a manager with your staff is being able to sit down, have that time where you're talking with them to say, okay, you know, how are you doing, you know, in your work relationships, you know, how are you progressing in your career? Where is it you want to go? How can we help you get there? Right. So having one of those more in-depth conversations that go beyond the daily tasks and to-dos, right? So really trying to support our staff in doing that, providing coaching and counseling. I find I did a lot of coaching and counseling pre-COVID, but I do a lot more now just because the weight of the stress that folks are under is pretty significant. Not always just necessarily around work, but obviously seeing everything they see in the news, everything that's going on. And so I spend quite a bit of time kind of coaching them through how to work in under all this stress and pressure, you know. And then I also encourage my managers to have similar conversations with their staff, you know. So I say that crisis counseling, I guess you could say, has become a bigger focus as well, right? You know, how do we manage, not just manage our careers and manage tasks, but how do we manage the stress and the pressures that we're all feeling as we see what's unfolding around us and the world around us? So
what do you think is the most critical skill that managers need to bring to the table to be successful? Is it trusting their employees more to actually get the work done, even though they can't see them? Is it bringing empathy to the table, understanding that productivity and or engagement may decrease, or it may be on a roller coaster because people are dealing with so many things, as you mentioned, the stress and anxiety? Is it learning how to give people flexibility to be able to work at different times of the day? And maybe it's D, all of the above, but if you had to choose, or if it's something that I didn't even mention, but I'm just bringing up some of the things that a lot of other HR leaders have brought up when they talk about managers, what do you think is the most critical or the most critical things that HR leaders need to bring to the table to be successful through this and to not stress their employees the hell out?
Yeah, I think all those things you mentioned are good. Like I would concur with all the folks who brought those forward. I think those are all necessary in the world we operate in. My go-to is EQ, right? Emotional, understanding, intelligence, you know, being able to really relate and understand, you know, what your staff are going through and to be able to engage with them and read their emotions and see where they're at. Right. So if you have that regular touch point with your staff, and you're seeing the staff members really for whatever reason this week, they're really struggling. They're just having a tough time. Maybe their kids are just melting down because they've been stuck in a house with them for months, and you know, and they're having arguments with their partner and they're just very frustrated and they're at their wit's end, you know, as a manager, you maybe step back and say, hey, maybe we need to see how we can recycle some things around to give you a little bit of space to, you know, to decompress, you know, maybe we need to shift things around so we can give you a Friday afternoon off, give yourself an extended weekend where you can just not be, you know, stressed out, or, you know, or maybe you can tell that they just, their work and everything that's going on is tough and you just need to be a listening ear for them where they can vent about some of the frustrations and pressures they have in a judgment-free and a fear-free type of environment setting, you know, just really having the EQ to be able to engage and understand what specifically is your staff member dealing with and how can you be that support to them, you know. And obviously, I think, like as I said before, all those other things you mentioned I think are good. Having that flexibility, maybe they have to take their kid to a doctor's appointment in the middle of the day. Well, fine. They take their kid to the doctor's appointment in the middle of the day and they make up the other work at another point in the week, right? Or, you know, there's, you know, whatever it is, like there's many different ways that we can help out our staff. But the important piece is taking the time to listen, to understand, engage, and hear where they're at. So, you know, what's that right thing going to be? Because if you just blanket do things, that might be nice, but it may not necessarily address the need that they have.
As I think about this conversation that we're having, it brings me back to the cliche that people don't leave companies, they leave managers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's interesting to think about in this context, because if that means that I don't have any benchmark or report in front of me, but anecdotally, I'm going to say that most people think that most managers suck.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Or not good at their job. People are always saying, I know so much more than my manager, or I'm a better leader than my manager, on a case-by-case basis. That may or may not be true. But if that is the case, and now we're compounding a lot of new skills that everyone needs to learn, because COVID was a punch in the face for everybody to totally change what they're doing, then how do you take people that may not have already been the best manager and now all of a sudden need to also learn all of these skills like EQ and flexibility to really be good at their job?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, you know, because, you know, human nature is such that we tend to fall back on the things that are comfortable and familiar to us, right? And so that kind of goes back to what I was talking to earlier, where if you don't have this, then the skill set or the ability, at, you know, you haven't developed the ability, I should say, to intentionally engage with your staff and understand where they're at, then you might fall back on the crutch of, well, previously, pre-COVID, we're all in the same office together. You know, I can see them, they're doing their work. If they got an issue, they come talk to me. I'm right here in my office. I can, you know, go over, you know, so I think that then that becomes, you know, quote unquote management, right? You know, and that's obviously not, that's not effective, right? That's not what staff want. You know, when we talk about inclusion really at its heart means you're making people feel involved, cared about, listened to, in part. They're part of the group, right? Their thoughts are being heard. They are being seen. Like they are being engaged with. You're engaged with them. You're allowing them to engage with you. So that, you know, that can only happen when you're intentionally stepping out and engaging with folks and inviting them to do the same, right? So the best way that, you know, for me, the best way I help staff, like managers, like in that situation is I really put that challenge forward to them. I say, look, now that you don't have them nearby, how are you intentionally engaging with those folks? Do you know how your staff are doing this week? Have you talked with them? You know, it's best, especially when managers come to me and say, you know, my staff member, they're struggling with their performance. They're not doing well. And I'll just kind of call them out and I'll say, okay, well, why? Why aren't they doing well? Well, they didn't meet these deadlines. Okay, they didn't meet these deadlines. Oh, they're struggling. They're a little bit snippy in this team meeting. Well, why? You know, it's almost like that, like my 4-year-old son, like he's in that stage, like where everything is, well, why? Well, it's actually pretty effective, right? Because when you say, okay, well, why? Let's break that down. Let's talk about that. You know, and as more as you drive into it, you know, people tend to find their path there when they take a step back. And when someone just says, well, why? You know, and then you kind of step back and you think, well, okay, well, why? And then until they eventually get to the point where like, well, I'm not really sure. Well, maybe you need to engage with them and hear them out and understand where they're at. And then you can know and understand. And then you'll know how to help them. Right. And it goes back to maybe one of those issues I just mentioned a while back in my example is the factor that's causing that person to struggle. And you can help affect that. And not only does that help that employee, you're not just, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you get more low EQ guys like, oh, well, that's all touchy-feely. Well, yeah, okay, maybe it's all touchy-feely, fine. But still, if engaging with them and kind of helping them feel included and understand there isn't really, it's not something you fully get yet, well, understand this. If you engage with them, you hear their issue, and you help them to address that issue, they're going to be more effective and productive in their work. They're going to be more engaged if they feel like you care and you're listening and you're helping them out. So if nothing else, let's start there and let's do that, right? Because I know that if you start doing that path, you're going to find that your work relationships are going to improve with your staff. They're going to be happier. If they're happier and feeling like you're listening to them, you're involving them, you're helping them, they'll be more effective and productive in their work. And then you help, and then you're going to do better off because your team's going to be more successful, right? And as a manager, your ultimate gauge is ultimately how successful is your team? How are they doing, right? How are they thriving? That's ultimately what you is your measure of success as a leader, right? So we start kind of going through that process with them. Usually it clicks. It's like, okay, they may not be able to get it right away, but if they start on that path, just starting with the simple fact of listening and hearing what's going on with their staff and trying to help address those issues, that usually sets in motion a good path forward, right? In generally speaking, if a manager isn't willing to do that, then that's a situation where you need to ask, is that really a person who should be in management? And maybe we need to be thinking about different tracks for that person. But generally speaking, I don't run into that a whole lot, unfortunately, at least not yet. But yeah, so anyway, that's a big roundabout answer. But yeah, I think it always comes down to training our staff to really engage, our leadership to engage and listen and understand where the staff are at and how they can help them. So,
in the spirit of asking why, as your so eloquently, I have a big question, and that, why don't managers trust their employees if they can't see them?
Oh man, that is a good question.
The reason why I think this question is so interesting is because there's not only managers, but then there's managers of managers, and then there's managers of managers of managers. And if no one trusts anyone that they're managing, or the people under them, or the people under them, all the way down to the individual contributor, then it almost seems like no one just really trusts anyone else but themselves to believe that they can hold themselves accountable to do work when no one is watching. So I'm trying to understand this. And if you could, I'm not necessarily looking for you to answer this question in the sense that you know that answer, but to get some color and some context on this, because I do think it's so interesting.
Yeah.
That so many people are saying, oh no, we can't work remotely. Mm-hmm. Are people really want to work?
It's funny. I, in my last company that I worked at, you know, seems like a lifetime ago now after this year. But we had this conversation where I remember I was working with this VP and I said, I think we should allow our staff to have complete flexibility to work from home or work from the office with some guidelines around, you know, if they have to do in-person meetings or client visits or that, whatever. And I think if we do that, I think you're going to find that there's going to be greater work-life balance, job satisfaction, things of that nature. And they looked at me like, we can't do that. We won't be creative. We won't be flexible. We won't be engaged. People won't do all their work. We'll miss deadlines. Like, why? It's like, why do you think this about your staff? He's like, because, well, we have to be there. Like, they need the accountability. It's like, well, one, you don't have to have them in the office to hold them accountable. And two, you spent all this time recruiting and vetting all these candidates and hiring these people because you felt that they were the best and most talented people for the job. If these are really truly highly skilled, competent, experienced professionals that you're paying a significant sum of money to come work for you, why can't you take the next step of trusting them to be able to do their job, whether they're here at the office, at the coffee shop, wherever, right? Like, you know, and it just like, and he couldn't answer me. And I like to try to extend the olive branch and find compromises. It's just kind of my personality and my background. So I was just like, let's do this. Let's start by giving people the flexibility to do that one day a week, right? And we started with that. And then when the world didn't come crashing down and people were fine and you realize, oh, it wasn't so bad, then we extended it. Let's try 2 days a week, right? And then 3 days. And then we kind of built from there. And surprise, surprise, we got people the flexibility. They did well. They were super engaged. They continued to knock it out of the park for the company. They were professionals. They did their job really well. and the world did not come crashing down, right? But why did he have that hang up? And he couldn't even articulate it. I think, you know, it comes back to, it's a tough one to answer specifically. There might be different reasons for different people, but I think sometimes we kind of have these modes of doing, engaging in business that we do for so long that maybe we grew up in our careers in, or, you know, we were culture, like our work cultures that we've been a part of have emphasized the more traditional, you must be in the office from 9 to 5 invisible. And we're just so conditioned to that, that the possibility that we can do something different is just, it's just so foreign that it's hard to get over that mental hurdle, you know, and sometimes you kind of have to be eased into it to see that, oh, maybe that's not the case now, you know, and, or maybe sometimes people will tend to project their own personality types onto others. So it may be that personally someone feels that they only are able to be, maybe they got so much commotion at home that they can't be effective at home and they have to come into the office. And maybe they assume that because that's the case for me, that that's going to be the case for other people, right? So it's kind of that projection onto other people that might not, that's probably not always going to be accurate, right? And so there's a lot of these habits and ingrained notions and personal perceptions that people that are in positions of authority kind of have to work through and get over, and to kind of get us over that hurdle. And the interesting thing is we've already seen this trend of that starting to change as some of the younger generations are rising up to the ranks, either founding their own companies or they're rising up to the ranks of existing companies or taking on these leader positions. They have this different mentality and you're starting to push for more of this. And so you see this happening more and more in companies. Well, then COVID comes along and just is like a bucket of cold water just thrown on it, that all of a sudden we get shocked and we have to, all of a sudden we've been thrown into this, right? And a lot of companies that before that the leadership, they had this hang up that, oh, we can't do it. And now they've been forced into it. And then they like, kind of like the other executive I told you about, they realize that, oh, the world has not fallen in terms of our employees being able to do their work. Yes, there are some new challenges, but these are all challenges that we're encountering that can be solved for. But in terms of employee engagement productivity and be ability to work, it's not, it's actually in many cases they're finding it's better. Like there's a lot of, read a lot of articles from SHRM, that is Society of Human Resource Management, that are finding, they're interviewing a lot of these different executives, a lot of different companies, they're finding, wow, our productivity is not dropped off, and in some cases actually improved, right? People aren't spending 2 to 3 hours a day, you know, commuting in their car back and forth to work. So that's time that they can actually be engaged in their job, or, you know, they're at home, so they have the flexibility to balance different things do different things that they couldn't do before because they're stuck in an office, you know? So like they're finding that it's not as so terrible as they thought it was going to be. And so you're starting to see a lot of these big, you know, even like these big Silicon Valley companies like Facebook is saying, yeah, you know what, we're just going to go to work. You want to work remote? You can work remote, right? A lot of these large companies are saying, yeah, go ahead. We're going to do it. You know, it's not so bad. So I think this, you know, I think a lot of this is starting to flex and change once, you know, generationally is younger generations are assuming positions of leadership, but then we're also seeing it just because we've been forced into this, you know, lack of a better term, this experiment of work. And we found that it's not as dire as it was once thought it would be, right? At least in terms of allowing people to have that, be able to work from home. So now that doesn't address all the issues, right? So that still doesn't necessarily address what some of the other things you talked about, like the trust, all the full trust factor, right? Because you can still have people work remotely and not fully trust them, right? You know, you feel like you need to be micromanaging or getting into it. And that's kind of a separate parallel issue that a lot of managers have to deal with as well. You know, and that could be probably a whole separate podcast, but you know, and I think it comes back once again, but I think it's some of the same root causes, you know, in terms of how the cultures that they came up in terms of the work cultures, I mean, or just their own personal work types, you know, feeling that they have to engage in that matter. And I think as we learn to challenge those assumptions and to, you know, to have the courage to step into different ways of engaging with our staff it was one of my prior CEOs used to say, give people a chance to fail rather than assuming that they're just going to fail. And, you know, you will be surprised that they won't. They are more often than not, they won't fail. They will succeed. They'll be successful. But that's how you help people to grow and to be successful in their careers. And ultimately, the satisfaction that we talked about, like, you know, most people don't leave, you said before, most people don't leave their jobs, they leave their managers. Well, I think a lot of that comes down to, well, they don't like having a manager, overbearing manager who's kind of cracking the whip on them. They want to be included and involved in driving their team forward and treated as an equal, as a partner in this adventure, you know, that we're trying to go through, you know. And so as a manager, when you can stop, you know, feeling like you have to be the big brother, you know, who has to keep your thumb on them to make sure they're doing their job. And instead, you'd say engaging with them as a partner and bringing them into the work and working together collaboratively to be, go forward. I think that starts to address some of those frustrations, you know, that my manager's terrible, that, you know, as you noted, so many people feel now, you know. So anyway, if I could go on and on and on about this, but I think, yeah, I think it's definitely a challenge, but I think we're starting, I do feel like overall we're starting to see some shifts in that area, you know, but there's still a huge amount of room for improvement, you know, and this, I think we'll continue on that journey, but.
Well, thanks for that. And thank you for allowing me to turn this segment into Bruce's thoughts.
That's good.
That I'm thinking about, and then I bring people on the show to say, you know what? I've been thinking about this. What do you think? You know, age-old answer. Lifetime. Take a lifetime to answer. But no, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. You really dropped a lot of wisdom on the show, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be listening and learning from you. And also, if anyone has an answer or they think that they figured out why we don't treat each other at work, then please send me a tweet, a text, call me, email, Slack, all the things.
I bet you're going to get a lot of responses on that one.
I hope so. But Jason, yeah, Thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Where can people find you and Med Streaming online?
If people want to reach out, my email is jason.olson@medstreaming.com. And then I'm also on LinkedIn. Jason Olson, you know, Jason Olson MedStreaming, you'll find me. So, but yeah, I'm always happy to engage with folks if they have questions or if I can be of any help to them. So,
awesome. So everyone listening here, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. That would show that you enjoyed it. And who doesn't like to know that people like the things that they make? I know I do. So let us know. Also, if this is your first time listening to our podcast and you came here because you're either already a super fan of Jason and you wanted to hear what he had to say, or you thought that the topic was so compelling that you just had to listen, but now you're hungry for more awesome HR podcasts, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. And last but not least, all of you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.